Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Ankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Kurt Maynard. If you're not familiar with Kurt, you need to be. I have posted his most recent article at Breaking All the Rules News. You can find it at Neocon Watch. You can also find Kurt Maynard's blog at something called Politically Correct Apostate. The best way to get there, the easiest way to tell you about this over the air, is just to go to markglennscrescentandcross.com. Once you're in Mark's site, look at the left-hand side of the page. You'll see a list of correspondents there, including Michael Collins Piper and Hesham Talawi. Click on Kurt Maynard. Once you do that, you're in Kurt's blog. You'll find out a great deal not only about what Kurt writes about, but things that he finds to be of absolute significance to us that are posted on his site that come to us from other writers as well. Kurt, how are you, sir?
Thank you. Thanks a lot for inviting me on your program.
Well, your writing is clearly writing that is most significant in regard to the larger battles that we're fighting in the freedom movement. There are all kinds of things in your blog that we can talk about this morning. One of the things that comes up that you've reposted from Counterpunch is this whole letter that Cindy Sheehan wrote to the Democratic Party. As an initial beginning to our conversation, what do you make of that letter, Kurt?
Well, I admired Cindy Sheehan initially quite a bit, and she had written a letter, I think it was to 2020, in which she expressed the idea that she didn't, she felt that her son Casey had died for Israel. And of course, at that moment, I thought she was a hero, but she later retracted that and apologized.
Oh, really? I was not aware of that. So she initially connected the dots and then pulled back from it.
Right. And, you know, as from my point of view, I think that she did that because she wanted to, you know, to be on, just to stay with the, on the good side of the media. But in any case, I do admire her for what she did. I wish that she... Hello?
Yes.
I wish that she hadn't retracted or apologized for that. And I think that the probably, the anti-war movement will be, will miss her.
Yes, and, to me, and I've mentioned this before, Kurt, it seems to me that when we talk about the anti-war movement in this country, and I've tried to emphasize on this show that the anti-war left in the United States and the anti-war right, which tends to be comprised of the so-called America First people, that they share some things in common. There are also some divergences between those two sides of the aisle who do agree about the war. What do you see as their elements of commonality? What do you see as their areas of divergence? And to what extent do you think that people on the anti-war left and right can cooperate with one another in trying to build a larger coalition against this thing?
Well, I think they're doing that. I think they're coming together kind of naturally. I think initially there were some major differences, and now it's come down to the point where both sides are just saying, let's get out of Iraq now. For maybe possibly the far right, they see the war in Iraq as the U.S. government's way of spreading the power of Zionism throughout the Middle East and having less to do with oil than perhaps the left thinks. And the left looks at, tends to look at the war and occupation in Iraq as having to do more with oil and American imperialism than perhaps the far right, which sees it more as an expansion of Zionism in the Middle East, or the power of Zionism in the Middle East.
We'll be back with Kurt Maynard of Politically Correct Apostate. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio on RBN. Stay tuned.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Kurt Maynard, whose blog is entitled Politically Correct Apostate. You can find it at pcapostate.blogspot.com. That's pcapostate.blogspot.com. Or you can go to Mark Glenn's Crescent and Cross at crescentandcross.com. Click on that, and then go to the left-hand side of the page, and where you see Kurt Maynard's name listed, simply click on Kurt's name. It'll take you into the same site, which is pcapostate.blogspot.com. Kurt, you've made the point that when it comes to the anti-war right and left, that they do have some different presuppositions about this. You were saying that the far American right tends to see Mr. Bush's war in terms of the promotion of Zionist ideology in the Middle East, and that it's to be opposed primarily, for not exclusively, but primarily for that reason. You've indicated that the American left tends to see this war as a war of imperialism on the part of the United States, chiefly for oil and natural gas resources and pipelines.
That pretty much sums it up. Yeah.
How does this play out for you? Which of these two things do you think represents the predominant reason why we're there, and what do you think the implications of that are?
Well, personally, I feel that it's a the U.S. government is doing this to expand Zionism in the Middle East or its influence. I've written an article a while back entitled something like Why It's Not About Oil. And I mentioned in there that back in 1916, the Germans developed a patent to convert coal into oil, and that technology has been around since then. And currently, South Africa produces a barrel of oil from coal that has a high sulfur content. They can produce a barrel of oil from this coal for between $18 and $30 a barrel, which is far less than what we're paying right now. The United States allegedly has enormous oil reserves under the Colorado Rocky Mountains in shale, and Canada has reserves that possibly even equal the reserves of Saudi Arabia locked away in tar sands. And that's being extracted now and sold. So I don't know exactly how it has to be about oil or energy. There's also an untapped resource called methane hydrate, which is currently under the Atlantic and Pacific shelves in the ocean that dwarf all known coal and oil reserves, and it's frozen methane gas. And as it is right now, the technology hasn't developed where it can be profitably extracted, but that energy resource exists.
So you see this whole situation then with this American involvement in Iraq as principally being undertaken at the behest of Jewish neoconservatives advising Mr. Bush, and who, of course, have influence in both of the major political parties in this country, who want to make sure that the Middle East stays safe for the Zionist state of Israel.
And international organized Jewry, yes. Not just the state of Israel, but I see that these same neocons and their internationalist buddies overseas in Russia and other places would like to increase the power of organized Jewry or internationalists, if you want to refer to them as that, or globalism.
Well, this kind of gets into this whole business of globalism and one worldism and how that relates to what you describe as international Jewry. And I think this also dovetails quite nicely with your piece, which I posted at Neocon Watch with Breaking All the Rules News yesterday, entitled Surprise, Bush Appoints a Jew to Replace Wolfowitz. And, of course, we're talking about Robert Zoellick to be Mr. Bush's choice to be the new president of the World Bank. I find it noteworthy, and I've mentioned this on the air, that when you look at the Wall Street Journal and the London Financial Times, both of which I look at every day, and you talk about the New York Times and the Washington Post and all the other usual culprits, the obvious Jewish connections and Jewish identification of Mr. Wolfowitz and Mr. Zoellick is routinely never discussed, along with the ideological affinity that both have for the state of Israel and for what, as you put it, should be termed organized Jewry. What do you think are the implications of this silence on the part of corporate media? And what do you think the significance is of the fact that both Mr. Wolfowitz and Mr. Zoellick have these ties to the Israeli intelligence community and also to the forces that are behind this war in the Middle East?
Well, I think it's just another example of proof positive who is truly behind this. Bernanke, who I think is, I can't remember his first name.
Ben Bernanke,
thank you, was selected to replace Alan Greenspan, and of course they're both Jewish too. And I did mention in that article that Jews in this country represent approximately, or allegedly, 2.5% of the total population. And it just, of course, it doesn't make any sense. It's not a coincidence that, and as far as chairmen of the Federal Reserve, this goes back to quite some time. I can't remember who it was that preceded Greenspan, but I believe he was Jewish as well. But
was it Arthur Burns? I'm having to go back in the memory tank. I think it was Arthur Burns.
Well, I don't know. I can't remember.
Yeah,
and
I think so.
I think Greenspan was appointed around 19. I think it was 1980 or 81, but I'm not sure.
Yes. And thinking about some of these issues, then you have written an article which can be found at Zyopedia, and it's entitled "It's the Jews Stupid," It was posted on the 19th of March of this year. I just read the article last night. It's a very, very fascinating piece. And in that context, you are, among other things, interacting with Greg Szymanski in regard to some of his theories in regard to these larger conspiracy theories that have been bandied about that explain for many people what is going on in this country, both domestically and as far as foreign policy is concerned. Where do you come out on this in regard to some of what Greg has written on the subject?
What I've read that Greg Szymanski's written, I disagree with totally. I think he focuses on something that he refers to as the Black Pope and Jesuits and things of this nature, and I just reject that. I don't see, I mean, show me, I can show you a lot of Jewish CEOs and presidents of various news networks and network television, but I don't know of any Jesuits. I've never heard of this Black Pope prior to Greg Szymanski, actually. But you know, as an example, Michael Eisner was the CEO at Disney. He was replaced by another Jew, but I can't remember that Jew's name. He's not a Jesuit. Harvey Weinstein. You got Sumner Redstone, and I think his real name's Murray Rothstein. You got Edgar Bronfman. Who else here? You've got Samuel Newhouse. But you know, these people are ethnic Jews. They're not Catholics. They're not Jesuits. And as far as I know, they have no loyalty whatsoever to the Pope.
Well, see, this is where I'm coming from as well, in that, you know, as I've had a number of fine folks who have written me with what they believe is the evidence that the Pope and the Jesuits specifically are behind these events that we talk about on the air here at RBN. And while I don't mean to be disrespectful to those who have an alternative point of view, it certainly seems to me that when I look at the preponderance of the evidence, whether I'm looking at the London Financial Times or Fox News, or I'm looking at the list that Mike Piper has put together at his book, The New Jerusalem, Zionist Power in America. When I look at those kinds of connections, it seems to me to be undeniable that a preponderance of the evidence, the overwhelming weight of the evidence, points entirely in the direction of what you refer to as international Jewry. I don't think there's any question about it.
That's my opinion.
Yes. Yeah. And as you look at this whole thing, then, you know, it has been suggested to me, and I don't know whether this is accurate or not, and I would like your take on this, that when you look at the so-called anti-war movement in the United States as it presently stands, not talking about the Vietnam version a generation or two ago, but the current version, that with a couple of notable exceptions, the vast majority of these people up to this point have not wanted to talk too much about the Jewish connection to the war, either peripherally or directly. Do you think that has hampered the effectiveness of this left-right coalition against the war because they have failed to really identify the nature of the enemy in this situation?
Without question. I think that the leg of the anti-war movement that the media, mainstream media, does give some attention to, ignore it completely. And in fact, I've talked to people that have attended anti-war rallies trying to, you know, they'll bring along a sign that'll say something like, "No war for Israel." And they're chased out of the rally.
Yes.
Yeah, immediately. I mean, just as soon as the sign comes up, bang, somebody's on them and telling them, you know, you need to leave, you're an anti-Semite, something to that effect.
But, yeah, and I think it was Kevin Barrett who was on this. I know Kevin's been on this show, and I believe he was the one that said it. But if you go back to the anti-war movement during Vietnam, that seemed to have a much wider level of participation and was much more widely covered in the news media of that time. I believe it was Kevin Barrett who suggested on this program that the reason for that is because Jewry in the United States had a lot of empathy for the anti-war movement in those days, a lot less empathy for it now because of the fact that Israel's fingerprints are all over this thing. And we'll take this up when we come back with Kurt Maynard. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Jewish plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is Jewish and how Congress is controlled by the Jews. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
PersonalArms.com has all your self-defense needs. PersonalArms.com carries the highest quality law enforcement grade pepper spray and sells it at true wholesale prices that start at $6.95. Check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. This electronic watchdog sees through walls. Electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com/RBN. That's www.personalarms.com/RBN. Or call 1-201-641-1442. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or local law, so check your laws before making a purchase.
We're back. This is Mark Dantos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Kurt Maynard, whose blog is entitled Politically Correct Apostate. Probably the best way to tell you over the air as to how to get to it is to go to Mark Lenz Crescent and Cross at crescentandcross.com. Go to the left-hand side of the page. You'll see Kurt Maynard's name listed there. Click on Kurt's name. It will take you to Politically Correct Apostate. And from there, you can find all kinds of interesting posts, both those that Kurt has written as well as those that he has deemed essential from other writers that are listed there that are well worth your time. And before the break, we were talking a little bit, Kurt, about this whole business of the anti-war movement. And I believe it was Kevin Baird, as I mentioned before the break, who suggested on this show that the reason why the anti-war movement in this country in the 60s seemed so much more vibrant and had so much more media coverage is because much of American Jewry at that time was in support of the anti-war movement, whereas now a good percentage of them are not, because they really know that lurking behind this present military conflict in the Middle East stands the government of Israel and stands the linkage between the Israeli lobby and the U.S. government. You basically agree with that then?
Absolutely.
What do you think the implications are? Do you think that, for example, looking at a Ron Paul in the Republican Party, or looking at somebody other, I don't know who it would be, but somebody other than the announced candidates for the presidency in the Republican Party other than Ron Paul, and looking at all this dreadful list of Democratic candidates, sounds like Paul is the only guy out there that seems to get any of this at all.
In either party.
Yeah, in either party. And Ron Paul, I think, you know, from people I have talked to who know him, he seems to have, from the inside, pretty much know what's going on, but I don't think he has yet talked a great deal about the Israel lobby. It comes, he's mentioned it from time to time in passing in relationship to the war. Do you think as time goes on in the campaign that Ron Paul may begin talking about this more specifically?
Well, I wrote another article called How Can Ron Paul Do It? And I don't think that Ron Paul has a snowball's chance in hell unless he does. I think
yes.
He's going to have to come out. I think he's going to have to come out and talk about the bias in the media and perhaps why that is. I think he's going to have to come out and start talking. If he wants, he's got a lot of momentum and a lot of support. If he wants to maintain that support, at some point he's going to have to come out and talk about it.
You know, I think you're absolutely right, Kurt, and I am going to emphasize this on the air. In 2004, the Constitution Party candidate for president that year was a guy named Michael Perutka, who's an attorney based just outside of Baltimore, Maryland. Perutka is a friend of mine. We don't agree on every issue. I basically like Michael. I think he's got a lot of good ideas. But in 2004, he invited me to come to the Constitution Party's state convention in Maryland and to address them in regard to what I thought were the compelling issues of the day for the Constitution Party and for the country that year, and the kinds of things that I would recommend both to Perutka and the Constitution Party that should be in the forefront of their issues in that year. I subsequently record that speech. The text of that speech was subsequently published by Dave Black online, and it's entitled The Trinity Strategy. But be that as it may, I noticed in 2004 that Michael Perutka, when he was running for president on the Constitution Party line, was on occasion making reference to the project for a new American century, and I think quite thankfully was making reference to it. But I don't think that Michael was necessarily talking about the next step in that process, which was to clearly, in my view, delineate the fact that the project for a new American century had a very strong Jewish and Israeli lineage attached to it, and that to talk about the one was of necessity to talk about the other. Perutka really didn't do that in 2004, and from talking with you, Kurt, it sounds to me like we need to be urging Ron Paul not to repeat the same mistake in 2007 and 2008.
That's one of the reasons I wrote that article. In there also emphasized the absolute, he must not apologize for anything. By apologizing, he's just going to bare his throat because, the Zionist media has perfected this art of assassination. And what they'll do is they'll dig up some past remark or faux pas that he made, and they'll use it, and they'll do their best to get him to apologize for it. And from that point on, he'll be a non-entity.
Well, then I think you're exactly right, and because I do not have any inside connections to the Ron Paul campaign or to Congressman Paul, I can only speak as a sympathetic outside observer. But I think you're right on the mark with this, Kurt, and I'm glad to learn of your article about Ron Paul. I will make sure it gets posted along with some of your other articles in my show description here, both for RBN as well as for Breaking All the Rules News. And basically, you have saved me writing an article on this particular subject because you've already done it. But I think it needs to be underscored that Ron Paul has got to start talking about this. He's got to start talking about the Israeli connection to the war, that it is the primary reason that we're in this war in the Middle East, in my judgment. And he also has to talk about the larger implications of what you refer to as international Jewry in regard to its control of the American media, the American economy, and the American educational institutions. We'll be back with Kurt Maynard. This is Mark Dankos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Hey America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
We're back. This is Mark Ancos, America, coming live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Kurt Maynard, whose blog is entitled Politically Correct Apostate. You can find it by going to markglennscrescentandcross.com, looking for Kurt Maynard's name on the left-hand side of the page at Crescent and Cross. Clicking on Kurt Maynard, it'll take you right there. You can find Kurt's essay for Zyopedia entitled It's the Jews, Stupid. You can find Kurt's recent effort that pertains to Robert Zoellick's appointment by President Bush to being the head of the World Bank, Kurt's recent post on Ron Paul and the kinds of things that Ron Paul needs to be talking about in this presidential campaign is listed there, along with a number of other items as well. We have a caller from Ohio for Kurt Maynard, and that is Lester. Go ahead, sir.
Hello, you there?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, you was talking about the oil and all the energy and all this here, and well, I kind of became disabled a couple of years ago, and ain't had nothing else to do but sit around and study. So I study all these things. I listen to all you people, and I study everything. And it seems to me that if you take and try studying and researching free energy, you'll find that there's all kinds of different sources and means out here to take and propel our cars and power our houses and our villages, whatever we, however we want to do it, without taking being attached in any way to any of these here petroleum corporations.
And I agree with you 100%.
One of their biggest vices over us, ain't it? We got to go to them to survive, and as long as they got us where we have to go to them to survive, well, then they can tell us how to walk, talk, and. But and then to touch on the topic of Ron Paul, well, I realize Ron Paul, he's got a pretty good scope on everything, but hopefully, are you still there?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, well, hopefully, you know, as long as he can keep an open mind, we can always educate him. See, I come to the conclusion a long time ago in life that there's two kinds of people out here. There's retards and there's educatable retards, because none of us know it all.
Right.
You know, ignorance is the greatest vice of the devil, and we're all possessed of some of this. But together, we can alleviate each other's ignorance, as long as we're willing to take and be educated by each other. When we get to where we're too smart to be educated by our brother, well, then all of a sudden we become overeducated idiots, as my father used to call them. And we can no longer take input, you know what I'm saying? We can't look at it from the other side of the fence, so to speak. As long as we keep an open mind and to other people's ideas, well, then we can, between the bunch of us, we can beat this thing. It's not, you know.
We don't really have a choice, do we?
Well, no, we ain't got much of a choice about it. I mean, I understand a lot of things about all the, you know, how they're trying to, I mean, I come from a family of five, well, five boys. There was 10 in the family. Well, none of us boys have had any children. Well, see, that's just, you know, we can, okay, if we go back to the Bill of Rights, I thought I was supposed to have the right in the United States to take and bear children, you know, and pass on my name. But in some cases, that ain't so, you know, as they're talking now of taking, killing babies that are before they're even born because they're born to a criminal element, you know what I'm saying? Well, if society labels you as a criminal element, which they did that to me about in the third grade, so I can relate with this, and I can relate why they had to force my girlfriend to have an abortion, because my child was better off dead, just like all these other people that are not in perfect standing with the devil, you know what I'm saying? And they don't worship him. You know, that's why, I mean, after all, that's what it's all about.
Well, Kurt, let's take two things that Lester has talked about here and run with those for a minute. Number one, do you think that this battle that we're in the middle of is winnable? Let's have Kurt Maynard address that question. And then secondarily, what about the connection, Kurt, between the abortion industry in this country and a Jewish constituency? Go with the first one.
Okay, well, first of all, I just have to say that there's a cosmologist by the name of Stephen Hawkins that said that the greatest enemy I can't remember the quote. It goes, the greatest enemy of knowledge is not ignorance, it is the illusion of knowledge, which kind of goes along with what our caller was saying. let's see, in respect to of the abortion in this country, I guess I'd like to point out that I don't know how many babies have been aborted since the 70s, since Roe versus Wade, but
I think it's 45 million.
I'm sorry, how many?
I think it's 45 million.
45 million. Now, we're told over and over and over by our government that we have to amnesty 20 million illegal aliens to fill jobs that just can't or won't be filled by Americans. And I point out that if we hadn't aborted all those babies, that we wouldn't require the assistance of 20 million illegal aliens. And as far as the abortion issue being related to a Jewish constituency or Jewish leadership in this country, I'm not that familiar with that. But that's, you know, I personally have not studied that, so I can't really comment.
Yes. Well, that would make for a future interesting topic on this show, because I think, again, looking at the origins of Planned Parenthood and what statistically has been shown to be a disproportionate Jewish amount of involvement in financing Planned Parenthood and organizations like it, and then some of the very public statements, pro-abortion statements that were made by the Jewish female organization Hadassah in the wake of the last off-year congressional elections certainly suggests that there's a connection. What the larger ideological game plan is of this apparent connection between the Jewish lobby and the population control movement is something that maybe needs to be left to another show. But quite clearly, there's something there, and I think that maybe Mark Glenn will want to pick up with a little bit of this tomorrow. Kurt, you mentioned a couple of things on your site that I wanted to get to before the end of the show, one of which I talked about at great length yesterday. Kurt Nimmo contacted me online, was mentioning what's going on up there in Canada, where Kurt Nimmo and a guy by the name of Chris Cook, who is the editor of what I think is called PEJ. I think that stands for Peace, Economics, and Justice. I'll have to go back and look at the exact title of the organization again. But Kurt Nimmo and Chris Cook and several people connected with something called Dissident Voice up in Canada are being charged by the Canadian Human Rights Commission and the Anti-Defamation League of Nez Brith, which is apparently pushing this Canadian Human Rights Commission to investigate this whole thing, with so-called anti-Semitism and possible violation of Canadian hate crimes laws. What do you think of the implications of this up in Canada, and how close do you think we are to something like this happening in this country?
I think we're very close. I think the hate speech and hate crime legislation is being furtively pushed through right now. And I think there's nothing more that the Zionists and organized Jewry in this country like to do than shut down free speech, primarily as it relates to criticism of Jews. And I think they've successfully done that in Canada. It's funny, I did not know that about Dissident Voice. I've sent them every single article I've ever written, and they've only published one of them, which had nothing to do with Jewry. So the fact that they're being charged with anti-Semitism is really interesting.
They
wouldn't like to publish, I think, the material that I have, but they've pretty much been honest and straightforward and told me that they can't.
I may need to stand corrected on that. I'm not sure whether they were charged or not, or whether they simply have been fair enough to publicize the charges against Kurt Nimmo and Chris Cook. I think the latter is the accurate of the two,
as I
think this thing through. But nonetheless, Kim Peterson up there at Dissident Voice has written a very fair article exposing what's going on. There was one additional authoress up there for Dissident Voice who has also talked about this openly and about this canard of anti-Semitism, both as it relates to the things that Chris Cook and Kurt Nimmo have said related to the plight of the Palestinians, as well as some of the what they consider to be some of the more ruthless, inadvisable policies of the Israeli government. And I find it notable that, in the case of Chris Cook, apparently, from what I can gather of his profile on the net, and I suspect that this is true of my friend Kurt Nimmo as well, these guys are hardly radical right-wingers, for crying out loud.
Right.
These are guys that have political views in the main that I would suspect would be well to the left of my own. And the notion that they would be charged with racism and anti-Semitism is to me absolutely incredible. But I think it also begs the question, even if they were, and I do not believe that Chris Cook is a racist or an anti-Semite or Kurt Nimmo in any way, shape, or form, but even if they were, are we not talking about a situation here where freedom of speech should still apply even if we thought their views were reprehensible? I think their views are entirely defensible. But even if they were reprehensible, whatever happened to the notion that people ought to be able, as long as they're not physically threatening somebody, ought to be able to say all kinds of reprehensible things in a free society?
Right. And these countries, like Canada and Germany and France, they portray themselves as modern democracies. And they're really not, are they?
No, not at all.
As far as Canada, Canadians should have, it was very easy to condemn Ernst Zundel. But, we should have looked carefully at what Canada was doing to Ernst Zundel. And if we had, and we had protested in a unified voice, this wouldn't be happening now. but we said nothing because it's easy, you know, it's easy to dismiss Ernst Zundel and call him a Nazi or whatever you like, but the fact is, you know, he was a if we would have paid attention to what was happening to him, and it was all about injustice, we wouldn't be here right now, but we are.
Well, yes, and I have never studied Ernst Zundel's views in any systemized fashion. I've read the coverage on his situation in the American Free Press and some of the things that the Institute for Historical Review has come out with.
Right.
They've just scanned them. But once again, it seems to me that the larger issue in this whole situation is not what I think of Ernst Zundel's views one way or the other.
But his right to express those views.
And to avoid having his right essentially being criminalized by these governments. And to me, again, when I think that this is going on in places like Germany and Canada, it's getting very, very close to home in regard to what could happen in this country if this hate crimes legislation should actually make its way to the president's desk and if he signs it.
Well, I have no doubt he will, too. Going back to what the caller said about criminal elements, you know, if this hate crime legislation passes, Mr. Dankoff, you and I will be considered criminal elements.
Well, that's right. And here I am in a situation. I'm a Lutheran pastor. I've never committed a crime. I assume that most of my neighbors, whatever they might think of my political views, most of them don't even know who I am. I don't tell them who I am, but they would consider me the kind of guy that only parks my car in my assigned parking space and smiles and pets other people's dogs and so forth.
Right.
That's pretty much been my image. And to me, the notion that I'm currently doing something on the Republic Broadcasting Network that at a future time could be considered a crime is absolutely horrific to me, not simply in regard to the fact that I could end up in the slammer or that people like Mike Piper and Mark Glenn and Kurt Maynard could end up in the slammer, but we're talking about a situation today where maybe this is getting pretty close to home in regard to what Jerome Corsi has written about at WorldNet Daily, where apparently the Halliburton company, through the Kellogg Brown and Root subsidiary in Houston, has gotten an extended contract with Homeland Security to be building what could fairly be seen as detention camps to be utilized in the event that Mr. Bush decides to take us up on his promise of May 9th. To utilize this, what is it, Presidential National Security Directive 51, also known as Homeland Security Directive 20, where Mr. Bush could define a national emergency. He can do it for virtually any reason. He can do it without the consent of Congress. He can let it go on for whatever period of time without the consent of Congress. And presumably, the building of these detention camps by Halliburton, in conjunction with what at least one federal judge has already said, is Mr. Bush's right to declare anyone to be an unlawful enemy combatant.
Right.
You know, you start looking at where all of this is headed.
Patriot Act isn't about protecting us from external terrorists, is it?
Well, not at all, then. I don't know if you followed, Kurt, this Sami al-Aryan case. Are you familiar with that one?
Yes, sir.
But, you know, I had his wife on this show some weeks ago. And, of course, here you've got, and I'll remind the listeners again, this guy, Dr. Sami al-Aryan, is a Palestinian-American who was a computer professor at the University of South Florida. He was the first significant person apparently charged under the USA Patriot Act. And the federal government made it very clear at that time that the al-Aryan case was a primer test case for the effectiveness of prosecuting people under the USA Patriot Act. Dr. al-Aryan was charged with something like 17 counts of supporting terrorism directly and indirectly. He was tried by a jury of his peers down in Florida. He was acquitted on half the charges. There was a hung jury on the rest of the charges that by a 10-2 margin wanted to acquit him of everything. And subsequent to being convicted of nothing, he has been in federal detention ever since. And to
right.
me, we are literally talking now about the actual, not the potential, but the actual suspension of the writ of habeas corpus in the United States.
Right. There was another case in Idaho from the University of Idaho in Moscow, Idaho, right after 911, in which another a Saudi student was arrested. It charged with a multitude of crimes, and he was actually acquitted by a jury of very, very conservative. If there's a conservative jury pool, it would come from Idaho. He was acquitted by a very conservative jury in Boise, Idaho, and then quietly deported to Saudi Arabia. But yet he was also one of the early ones charged with just a number of different crimes related to the Patriot Act paved the way for. Of course, he was acquitted completely, so he was innocent of those charges. But that didn't stop the government from doing it.
Well, on this show, we've talked quite a bit about the ominous character of this hate crimes business, and of course, we've linked it up just in the last day or so to what Kurt Nimmo has talked about as far as what's going on up in Canada. When we come back, I want to talk about potential censorship of the internet and where Kurt Maynard thinks that might be headed. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with Kurt Maynard of Politically Correct Apostate when we return. Stay tuned.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
We're back. This is Mark Dantos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Kurt Maynard of Politically Correct Apostate. You can find his blog by going to Mark Lenz Crescent and Cross and then clicking on Kurt Maynard on the left-hand side of that page, and you will get to all of the things that Kurt routinely posts, some of which I'm going to put on my show description for RBN, as well as for Breaking All the Rules News. I was mentioning earlier on the show that the Center for Strategic and International Studies in Washington has issued an attack against my friend Dr. Kaveh Farouk, the author of The New Shadows in the Desert, Ancient Persia at War. Dr. Farouk is, of course, based up there at the University of British Columbia in Canada. He's been writing some things about the Israeli and neocon connections to some of what's been going on in Azerbaijan. I'm going to say more about the Center for Strategic and International Studies tomorrow, both in relation to what they have said about Dr. Kaveh Farouk, as well as what they are pushing in regard to the North American Union. The Center for Strategic and International Studies, based in Washington's K Street, is a very powerful advocate of the North American Union and of world government. Is there a connection to the Israeli lobby? I'll examine that a little bit in the first hour of the show tomorrow. And then, of course, Mark Lenn of the American Free Press will be on with me to discuss a series of news items that have taken place in the last week. Kurt Maynard, we've got just a couple of minutes to go here. Looking at the first paragraph of your article, "Is the Jews Stupid?", which is posted at Zyopedia. You indicate that you are posting that article on the last bastion of freedom of speech, the Internet.
Right.
Before even that, in its present form, quoting you here, is made unavailable to mankind. Do you think that the Internet is going to be basically a shutout situation for us in the same way that corporate media has been? Is that just around the corner?
Well, I think that's where they're headed. I think in a way right now you see censorship on the Internet in that if Google wants an article to disappear, it disappears.
Yes.
Yeah. I constantly see manipulation. I think that we know that the government can look at our emails. If they can look at them, I don't know why they couldn't divert them or delay them or just get rid of them altogether. So I think there's already censorship of the Internet. I think that they would like to ultimately, see if they can pass the hate crimes legislation, they can use the Internet as their best friend to catch and convict. Criminal elements. So, yeah, I think that's where it's headed.
Yeah, and I think, again, it's important to see that there is a marriage of two movements that will have those of us in the freedom movement in the middle of the crossfire. I think one is clearly the hate crimes legislation. The internet censorship will be the other.
Right. As far as media censorship, we know that exists. We can look at, as an example, we can look at the Duke Lacrosse rape case, which was fictional, and all the media attention that received, and then compare that to the Knoxville murders of Shannon Christian and Chris Newsom, which has just been completely suppressed up until very recently by the mainstream media. It was the blogs and the Internet that forced that particular crime into the mainstream, and I think that scares a lot of those people that I think that scares the Zionists that own the media, and I think that might be one of the motivating factors that speed this process along.
Kurt Maynard, the Politically Correct Apostate, thank you very much for being on Mark Dankos America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back tomorrow with Mark Lenn of the American Free Press. God bless. See you at 0700 Central in the AM.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a